You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Is it okay if we pray this morning before we get into it? Is that okay? And why don't we stretch our hands to heaven, all of us across this room, even online, as an act of surrender to Jesus. Father, this morning as we come around your word, we thank you that you're going to change lives today. You're going to change all of our lives. That, Lord, we don't just take this moment for granted, Lord, but we're in your presence this morning. We ask that, Father, Lord, that you would speak to every person, Lord, change us. Let us be more like you, Jesus, that, Lord, we're becoming disciples of you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, over every location, even today at Kingdom City, that's getting ready to meet, has met, or is about to meet, Father. We ask that, God, that, Lord, souls will be one today. That, God, there'll be such a sense of unity, Lord, in every location as we preach on the Why series. God, we declare that you are great, Father. Your name is, Lord, there is no other name like your name, Father. We declare in this atmosphere this morning, right now, Lord, that lives will be changed. Lord, even as we've run out of chairs in this service this morning, Lord, it tells me that, Lord, there is a hungry heart, Father. There are desperate hearts ready to be moved, Father, Lord, into your likeness, Father. Lord, today we pray for your blessing and your favor, Lord, over Kingdom City, over Pastor Mark and Jim, Lord, over this location in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Before you take your seats, I want to warn you this morning that I am not a Bible teacher. I am not a Bible presenter. I am a preacher, which means I thrive off that sense of everyone partnering in the atmosphere. Even in the back of the room going, hey, today, God, we're ready for something to speak. And so before you take your seat, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them, if you were a salsa sauce, what heat temperature would you be? Would you be hot, mild, or medium? Go on, tell your neighbor as you take a seat, would you be hot, mild, or medium? Spicy, like the wonderful food here in Malaysia. Give me a wave if you'd be spicy. Give me a spicy. If you'd be mild, hope you're not boring. Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. Oh, let's get into it this morning. We're so glad for those of you who are joining us online. I know that I'm praying that if you're online this morning, maybe you've got, you know, maybe you're traveling for business. Maybe this is your service. Maybe you're leaning into Kingdom City. Well, we welcome you as we get into it this morning. I don't know about you, but starting on the first day of any job can be nerve-wracking. Give me a wave if you've ever started a job for the first day and you've been a little nervous. Come on, be honest. Be honest. You're in church. God knows. He's watching. I remember many years ago starting my first kind of real job that wasn't just like a little casual job, but a real job that helped pay the bills. And it was when I was at university in Australia, living in Sydney. And I know there's a great Kingdom City location there in Sydney. And I started in a place called Sydney Tower. Now, just like you have here in Malaysia, you have the Petronas Towers and you have the KL Tower. Well, I started by working as a tour guide in the Sydney Tower, which is almost as tall as the Petronas Towers. It was a really simple job, right? So you had different areas that you would work in. One of those was to put people in the lift so they could go upstairs. And then I would also do tours upstairs and tell people about Sydney. So I thought it was a great job, paid the bills. It was great while I was at university. This particular first day, I met the manager and they said, your first job today is quite simple. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to take 10 minutes. All you need to do is take the tourists and put them in the lift, press the button and send them to the top floor. I just thought that would be pretty straightforward. And so he let me have a few goes. And then he said, I think you got this sorted. Just make sure you get everyone upstairs and they can get up there and get the tourists through. So I thought that was pretty straightforward. I thought to myself, it's not too hard a task. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? So my manager left me, and now I was responsible for transporting all the tourists from the bottom floor to the top of this tower. And one of the things that he had told me was that you need to put a maximum of 12 people into the lift. And I wasn't sure if he meant like 12 like Australian people that were a bit bigger and a bit heavier, or like I had to work out what would be the approximate weight of 12 people to get in the lift. And so this particular morning, all of a sudden things got busy. There was lots of tour groups coming in. And this particular morning, there was a lot of tour groups coming from Japan. Now, most Japanese people that I looked at in that line, I thought, they're quite small, quite little. Konnichiwa, just making myself there at home. And I looked at them, I thought, well, maybe 12 Australian people and 12 Japanese people are different. So I was running the flow charts in my head And I'm doing some algorithms, and I thought, well, I think we could probably get more than 12 people into the lift. I want to impress my boss on the first day. So the first group came, come through. 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 people in the lift. Up it went, no problems. I thought, I'm a little bit competitive by nature. Let's see how far we can take this. The next group. Okay, 1, 2, 12, 13, 14. Come on through, 14, come on through. Up you go. Shut the door, sayonara. Up you went, up to the top of the lift. Then the next one, 16. Come on through, 16. Look, you only look like you're 40 kilos. Come on through, 16. In you go. Up we went. The next group, 17, then 18. It was getting a little squishy in there, but I thought, they're getting up faster. The tour guide was a lot happier because he got his people through. And then I thought, could we go for the 20? 20. Come on in. 18, 19, 20. You're a little bit heavier. Come on in, everyone. And the door shut. I pressed the button and up it went. And then I saw something that I didn't see before. The lights stopped halfway up the tower. 20 people. It was supposed to be 12. In the lift. I started praying, Lord, please, not today. Please let this be a mistake. And sure enough, those people were stuck for 2 hours. That's right, your boy over here, Joel, got a Japanese tour group stuck for 2 hours in that lift on first day of work. Can you believe I ended up working there for 5 years? They kept me. That was the grace of God. I don't know why, but they kept me. But when that lift eventually came down, there was the lift people there, the operators, there was an ambulance ready in case they had dehydrated. I felt very bad on the first day of work that I had taken these poor innocent tourists on an adventure that they did not want to go on. And I was responsible on my first day. I want to share this morning from the Word of God about a king in the Bible called King Solomon, who also had a very, very challenging first day on the job. If you've got your Bible, would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, and we are going to explore, as we continue this series here at Kingdom City, why his presence. Why his presence. Chapter 3, verse 16 reveals a story to us that many people may never have read before. And when you first read it, you're like, that's in the Bible? Like, this actually happened? Like, this would be better than anything on Netflix if they made this into a Netflix show. Such is the weight of this particular story. This is day one of King Solomon after he had requested from God, if there's one thing that I want above anything else is that I'd be the wisest man on earth. And so this is the story of King Solomon's first day on the job. This is King David's son. In verse 16, it says, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. And I had a baby while she was there with me. And on the third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone and there was no one in the house but the two of us. During that night, the woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I was your servant asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son on my breast. And the next morning I got up to nurse my son and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. Let me pause for a moment and say that if anyone here has ever lost a child or a loved one, it can be very, very painful. This story is very complicated. This story presents on first day of King Solomon's rule as king, a complex, challenging, painful, in many ways horrible scenario. As we continue the story, we can see that King Solomon not only was up to the task, but excelled in this matter. In verse 22, it says, the other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. This situation goes from bad to worse. This is now confusing. The king has got to try with two women. Who knows that two women that are confusing can be very confusing for any man? The king has now got two women presenting very challenging scenarios, not in Malaysia, in Australia that is, not here. No woman is confusing at all. Not in Malaysia, only in Australia. But what a complex situation to presenting, saying, it's my son. No, it's my son. It's my son. What do you do? Verse 23, the king said, this one says that my son is alive and your son is dead. While the other one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. And the king said, bring me a sword. I don't know about you, but in Australia, that wouldn't go down very well. Any leader saying, sword, please. So they brought a sword for the king and he gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby, don't kill him. But the others said, neither I nor you shall have him, cut him in two. And then the king gave his ruling, give the living baby to the first woman, do not kill him, she is his mother. And when all of Israel heard this verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. What an amazing story. What a challenging circumstance. What a painful moment where these two women who obviously had had heartbreak in their life both present to the king a story for him to rule on. But yet what was confusing in one scenario, when they entered into the presence of the king, not only was there clarity, but there was also a sense of judgment. I don't know about you, but as a believer, sometimes I think we forget that we are not subject to the rulers of this world. That you and I, like the name of this church, are subject to a greater power. That we come under the King of Kings in the kingdom of God. And maybe you coming to church today, or maybe those of you online, could have easily just taken it as another day to tick a box, to attend church. But can I put to you today that this is actually an environment that is holy and sacred. We may be in a convention center today. We may be in a place where we had to set up and get ready. And by the way, we're so thankful for everyone who did that. But listen to me carefully. The church is not the walls. The church is not the stage. The church is every individual that calls upon the name of Jesus and said this morning, I am going to make my way to a service because when I turn up to church, we get to have church because the church is not a building, it's people. And when you turned up and when I turned up and when your friend turned up and maybe you turn up for the first time, the Bible tells us that he dwells among his people. And that you and I can be reminded that today in this atmosphere that the King of Kings is getting ready to rule in this situation. The King of Kings is getting ready to administer justice. The King of Kings is going to bring his presence into this atmosphere. And no matter what you're going through or when or where you've been, that you need to understand that this is not like anywhere else. This is the place that the King of Kings can act, speak, and move. And if you believe that this morning, would you take 5 seconds and take a praise break and say, thank you, Jesus, that your presence is among us. Come on, Kingdom City, that you are here in this midst, ready to move and do the impossible. Oh, at the back of the room, I don't know if you heard that. He's here. His presence is here. This is not like anywhere else you can go. This is not like going to the movies. This is not like going to your favorite sporting event. The King of Kings is here. His presence is here. And I want to talk to you today and give you 4 simple thoughts of what happens when you're in the presence of the King. 4 things that you can take away in this Why series and say, that's right, I remember when I'm in the presence of the King, these 4 things happen. Are you ready for the first one, Kingdom City? Number one is authority. It is authority, godly authority in his presence. Can I remind you today that you are not a citizen of this world, you are a citizen of heaven. If you've called upon the name of Jesus, you must be reminded that you are not of this world. We are only here temporarily. We live with eternity in mind. But his authority is here. As it is in heaven, so it is on. I don't know what you've been going through lately, but maybe you've forgotten the power of God's authority. Romans 13 verse 1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. We honor our leaders. We understand there is authority here on earth, but at the same time, we must be reminded that there is only God who places leaders and authority in place on this earth. But God rules and reigns. A few years ago, sorry, last year, for those of you watching with interest, last year there was the anointing of King Charles after the death of the Queen Elizabeth. A good friend of mine is a friend of our church, the church here at Kingdom City as well, Glenn Barrett, his name is. He actually is the head of the AOG churches in England. And he was invited to be part of the anointing ceremony that you saw on TV. Pastor Glenn was invited the day before to go to Buckingham Palace. We were talking about this recently. And as he went into Buckingham Palace, he gathered with all the different heads of the churches, the Anglican Church and the Baptist Church and the different churches. And they were getting ready to have an audience with King Charles the day before his anointing. And they were all sitting around in the waiting room talking and probably a little bit nervous, chatting with each other. And then Pastor Glenn said to me, all of a sudden there was just this silence. Went, this noise went from loud to silence. He said, without even knowing what had happened, he knew that the king had entered the room. The atmosphere changed that quickly because the authority of the king, all he had to do was walk in the room and everyone just went silent. Can I remind you that in every atmosphere we're in your workplace, in your boardroom, in your home, in the church, wherever that might be, when you invite the King of Kings, when his presence enters the room, the authority shifts. When you go into a workplace, the authority shifts. When you take Jesus into your family, into your university, the authority shifts. You actually partner with the kingdom of God in any atmosphere. When you came to church today, we didn't just come to tick a box. We came today because we know the authority, the name above all other names, is here. You walked in here sick today. In Jesus' name, you will be healed because of the authority of Jesus Christ. You're going through a marriage crisis right now. Well, we come under the authority and says, hey, what God put together, let no man separate. When you can be reminded that no matter what atmosphere you're in, when you invite the presence of the King of Kings into the middle of it, he's there. Silence is the enemy. I don't know what you need to silence, but silence the enemy. Just like when King Charles walked in the room, there was a difference in the atmosphere. The second thing that you need to know today about being in the presence of the King is that it brings clarity. It brings clarity. Someone can write this down. The atmosphere that you breathe in is a result of the environments that you place yourself in. If you're around people all the time that have got fear, and you're absorbing that, you're breathing that in, guess what? You'll speak out fear. But you're called to exhale faith. If in your workplace there's a gossip environment and you're inhaling that all the time, then that's going to start to come into your home life if you're not careful. If you are around people that are constantly encouraging, guess what will come out of your mouth? Encouragement. We must be so careful about the atmosphere of what we surround ourselves in, because what we take in, we will exhale. Last year, we had our conference on the Gold Coast, our Glow Church conference, and it was in a big convention center, a big stadium. And it was fun because for the first time, we're in the middle of church planning in Seoul, Korea, in South Korea. And so we had a team of people from Seoul, South Korea, come over to Australia. It was their first time. And one of the people that were there and from Korea that came to join us was a young guy called Doug. At first, I was surprised to learn that that was actually his Korean name. That is a good Australian name. If anyone should ever be part of an Australian church plant, Doug from South Korea, who was called Doug by birth, is the right person. And I said to Doug, what did you notice about your time here in Australia? Thinking he was going to say the worship was amazing, the preaching was incredible, the people, he said, the air is very clean here. I didn't even realize that we had clean air until he told me. He said, I noticed when I came that when you breathe in, it feels so clean. I didn't even know that I was breathing clean air until somebody told me that. Can I tell you why it's so important that we're in church on a Sunday? Because all week, we're breathing in the world, what we're watching, what we're seeing, what we're doing. And when we're in the presence of God, and we're hearing the word of God, we're worshiping, we're encouraging, we're breathing in. Oh, it's becoming clearer. That issue I had on Thursday in my marriage became clearer in worship. That challenge I had with my son or daughter that's become a prodigal son or daughter, when I breathe in the atmosphere of the word of God, that's right, I'm reminded that, no, that's God's child. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you're going through a legal battle right now. Maybe you're going through a challenge in your workplace. Maybe you're feeling like it's too much, the studies that you're having to work through. But can I tell you this? There is clarity when you're in the presence of God. That's why during COVID, it got a bit confusing. We were all separated. We were all in our own homes. You were watching weird things on YouTube. And guess what? When finally God's people could gather again, things were like, oh, that doesn't matter anymore. Oh, that challenge we had doesn't matter, because clarity comes in the presence of the King. I want to encourage you, do everything you can to be in the presence of God. Start your day off in the presence of God. Allow for that atmosphere to shape your world. The third thing, everyone say the third thing. This is an important one. The third thing that happens in the presence of God is justice. Someone needs to hear this morning as I was praying, getting ready. There are people in this room today, maybe someone online, that you are currently going through a legal battle and you are up to here, you are freaking out, the peace has left you, and God says that get ready because He's about to administer justice in His presence. Psalm 89 verse 14 says this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness goes before you. Have you ever used the line, this is not fair? Why me? God, why? A few years ago, I was traveling to Europe with my family. It was the first week of holidays and we were going to the UK, but we stopped off in Singapore and I thought it'd be a great surprise to take my kids to Sentosa Water Park. I got a surprise at Sentosa Water Park. I saw something I had never seen before in my life in any kind of water environment. I lined up to go on a specific water ride, to which there was a big sign saying, if you are over 100 kilograms, you may not ride on the water slide. I looked at that sign and I thought, how do they know? How would they know if I'm under or over? Until I got closer to the beginning of the line to see there was a scale. I was on my first day of holidays. It's not fair. There was a time for me not to worry about, am I eating too much? Am I doing a Daniel fast to help? What am I doing here? And I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to know if I'm over or under 100 kilograms. I've been a little bit casual with my gym and my eating. And I had my daughters with me who became very interested to see whether I would be over or under. I just wanted to go on the water slide. I just wanted to have a good day out. Now I'm standing there being judged by the entire group of people in Singapore as to whether I qualify to be on or not the water ride. So I walked over and I said to the person, I said, look, I'm going to jump on here. I'm not going to look. I don't want to know the number. I said, I'm pretty confident I'm going to be under, but I don't want to know the number. Have we got a deal? He said, okay. So I walked up in my board shorts, feeling already very insecure. Felt like I shouldn't have had the extra pizza last night. I stood there on the scale, looked up, and his response was, oh, it's very close. I said, I don't want to know the number. I don't want to know. This is not fair. I didn't ask to be weighed publicly in front of everyone to go on the water slide. I'm trying to help my little girls go on the water slide, and I have to, this is not fair. This water park is not fair. I want my money back. I didn't do that. Next thing, he calls his friend up. Look. And his friend says, 99.1. I said, I don't want to know the number. 99.1. I said, you can go on. Do you think I enjoy that ride? Do
Do you think I enjoyed it? Knowing that I was at the start of my 4-week holiday, that at any point I was going to tip into the 100 kilos on my holiday because I was about to go to Italy. Pizza, pasta, no gym. This is not fair. This is not right. I didn't ask for the water slide to have a scale at the water slide. My girls thought it was brilliant. They went down and told Ellen 99. I said, don't tell her. She's got to get on me. It wasn't fair. Some of you listen to me this morning. You're going through things right now that don't feel fair. Wow. You're going through things that maybe no one else in this room knows about in your work, in your business, in your marriage. Maybe it's at your university. You're on that edge of like, I feel like that person's discriminating against me, the mark that it should have been there, I should have been. And here's what happens where we feel like there's been injustice. We want to take justice into our own hands. We want to make things right. We want to scream it from the rooftop. I didn't do it. It's not me. I shouldn't be on the scales. Here's what I've learned in my life. That if God is the God of justice who administers justice, while ever I'm trying to bring justice and work it out myself, he can't do what he can do. I have to get to a point of realizing if he is the God of justice, I need to zip my mouth. I need to step away from the scenario and say, God, it's over to you. God, you bring the restoration. God, you bring the restitution. God, you make things right financially. God, you fix that employment situation. God, I was doing what you said, but yet I find myself in this situation. I don't know who needs to hear this here today, but someone needs to hear what I'm about to say. God is the God of justice. When we're in the presence of the King, that is what his job is to bring justice. Just like these two women found themselves turning up and saying, one of them saying, this isn't fair, my child is still alive, and yet the other one's dead. Now I'm gonna be punished for this? If God knows what's happening, get out of the way. Someone needs to hear this in that legal case you're going through. Get out of the way. In your marriage, get out of the way. Just let God do what he does. That is his job. His job is to rule and to reign and to bring justice. And while we're getting in the way of it, he can't act or move on our behalf. Someone needs to listen to me here. Let God do what only he can do. And the fourth thing this morning as the team comes and joins me, and they're amazing, by the way, the engine room over here, the bass player, the drummer, you have my heart. You have my heart. It's amazing. I love it. I love it. I was a bass player back in the day. I was a young kid growing up in church playing bass, but not as well as our brother over here. Number four, are you ready for the last point today? Number one, what can we need to know? His authority is in his presence. Number two, clarity. Number three, his justice. And number four, we can bring our brokenness into his presence. Just like these two women, we know in the story, based on their occupation, there must have been some trauma there. Based on their occupation, there must have been some pain. Based on the fact that these two women are turning up to talk about a complex, challenging situation that is full of pain, adversity. And yet somehow on day one of King Solomon's job, these women are the first order of business. That they can bring their brokenness to the presence of the King and say, what do you think? What do you say? I would have thought that if I was running day one of King Solomon's rule, you'd want to bring the great stuff in. Quick, bring the richest people, bring them in. Some of the greatest innovators, bring them in. Talk to the King about how great the kingdom of Israel is. But no, the first order of business is two women who are broken. Two women who are in pain, two women who say, we need the King to rule in a complex manner, and they bring their brokenness into his presence. And as a result of that brokenness being brought, it freed up the whole of Israel to say, this King, he's a wise man. This King, we could trust him. When they brought their brokenness to his feet, he didn't say, go away. He didn't say, this is not important enough. He said, come, come. And what was once unclear the day before had become clear. What required the authority of a ruler to say, bring me that sword, sharpen the atmosphere for everyone to go, oh, that must be the right thing because the authority has come. For one of those women that said, I'm just asking God for justice, the king ruled in her favor. And yet I think sometimes we think that when it comes to brokenness, when it comes to this thing called church, we have to be perfect. I know that you probably picked one of your five best outfits for today. You're a very sharp looking church. You didn't just throw on anything. You thought, no, I'm going to look good. Yep, good, I'm coming. But yet maybe yesterday was the worst day of your life and no one knows. But we have this false economy, this false illusion that we have to have it all together. But when we come into the presence of the King, He says, come. Good or bad, come. Challenge, come. Pain, come. I've got it. Come to the cross. I just wondered if this morning we might stand to our feet in the room. If you're online and you're driving in a car, don't stand to your feet. Stay right where you are. Just keep watching. But come on, we stand right through this room. And just to start to prepare your heart for what God wants to do this morning. I want to declare that the presence of God is here this morning. We've already had one service here, and this altar was completely jam-packed full. Some of you here, as I've been speaking already, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about things that you're going through. God, I need to be clearer on that. I don't know what to do. God, I need your authority to rule and reign over my family. Oh God, that issue of justice, that legal situation, that feeling of like feeling like I've been betrayed, that feeling of like I'm not good enough, that feeling of like if only other people knew. Or maybe you're just being real this morning and go, I'm broken. Like I can't do this anymore. I can't fake it. I need the presence of God. And with every eye closed this morning in this room, I wonder this morning, would you just lift both hands as an act of surrender to the fact that right now the presence of God is here. The King of Kings. Come on, right through this room, would you lift your hands? We invite you. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, authority over every matter, the great healer, the provider, the justice bringer. And the one that we can bring our brokenness to. In a moment from now, I'm going to count to five. And if you're in this room and you say, I need prayer this morning, I need to bring that to the foot of the cross. Whether it's you need clarity, whether you need to see justice in a situation, or whether you're here going, God, I need to bring my brokenness. I want you, on the count of five, I want you just to push past the people next to you. I want you to run to the front. I want you to push past and go, I need to do business with the King of Kings this morning. If He's here this morning, then I want that breakthrough. If He's here, then I want to be free. So here you go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, just start pushing past. Come and join me at the front this morning. Say, Jesus, I'm coming to you this morning. That God, I'm bringing those things to you. God, I want you to move in those situations. As we start to worship Him this morning, I want you to be honest and real. If you need a friend to come with you and say, come on, I want to know that God's going to move. I want justice to be reigned. God, I need you this morning. I need your presence to move in my life. Come on, let's worship Him. Church, would you lift your hands and worship Him? There's lots of people coming. We're going to create lots of space this morning. Come on, church, worship the King. Come bow before Him. Come on, church, lean in. We worship you, Father. We ask for your presence, Father. Here on life, I pray for them right now in Jesus' name. If you're down the front this morning, thank you. Thank you for being real. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Thank you for saying, I need him, no matter what that situation you're going through. Church, this morning, if you're not down the front, would you stretch out your hands towards this? Come on, as a sign of we're in this together, we're a family. So many people saying Jesus this morning. Whether you want clarity, whether it's justice, whether there's brokenness, whatever's going on, as our team starts to pray, Father, we ask this morning over every situation and over every individual and every person right now going through pain, every person going through a battle of justice, people that are confused, Father, people that are going, God, I need clarity. And people that might be just here going, God, I feel so broken. I feel so broken. Psalm 34 verse 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so right now, Holy Spirit, we ask, come on church, stretch out your hands. We ask, Holy Spirit, those that are going through a circumstance, those that are crying out to you this morning, King of Kings, would you meet with each person? You're the God of the universe, yet you're the God of the individual. You're the one who can take our fear and replace it with faith. You're the one who can take an impossible situation, a medical diagnosis, and we declare in this atmosphere that healing is our portion. We declare in this atmosphere that you are the authority. We declare in this atmosphere that you are stirring hearts, that God, you are moving mountains, that God, you are turning that financial situation. That God, in this moment this morning, we declare that God, all things that look impossible are being made possible in the name of Jesus. So come on, let every heart declare it this morning, that in this atmosphere, Father, that God, you are doing new things. You are healing hearts. You are healing hearts, Father. You are healing the things that God, no one knows about this morning. We declare it this morning. Church, worship him. Worship him. Declare it. Weep through this atmosphere. Come on, in this church right now, if you're a praying person, bring the atmosphere of heaven into this environment. We call upon you, need Jesus. We call upon your name. If you have a heavenly language, start to speak it out. Heaven, invade this atmosphere. Heaven, invade this atmosphere. Set people free this morning, even online, Father. That Lord, we don't have to leave here the same way that we walked in. With every eye closed this morning, we're about to finish. With every eye closed in this room, I want to pray for people that say, I don't know Jesus. I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. Joel, you're speaking about the presence of the King, but I've never met the King. I want things to become clear. Joel, I want to know that Jesus would be there for me no matter what I'm going through, the highs or the lows. That if I would surrender my life to him, that I can know that I can have peace, I can have life, I can have joy, and the free gift of eternal life. I sense even this morning there are people in this environment, people that are watching online, and maybe you would say, hey, I've actually got everything together, and that's the problem. Like, I've got these big dreams, I've got lots of money, I've got a house, I've got a family, but still I feel like something's missing. Can I tell you what's missing? His name is Jesus. The Bible tells us that what good is it for a man or woman to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? That missing piece, his name is Jesus. He's the one who made you. He created you. He loves you. There's nothing that you've done that would turn his back. He would ever turn his back on you other than saying that he loves you and wants to forgive you. When we call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says you will be saved. In Romans 10 verse 9, if we believe in our hearts and confess in our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and that he rose again, that I will be saved. And ultimately, it's an act of surrender. Either Jesus is Lord of all or not at all. And in a moment, I'm about to simply pray a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you on the front. But I'm just going to say a prayer all together, everyone here. I'm going to say the words and we're going to pray it all together that simply says, Jesus, come on in. I give you my life. Forgive me. Make me a new creation. And that from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. With every eye closed this morning, if that's you, if you're saying, yes, I want Jesus today, I'm not leaving here the same way. I want you to give me a wave right now. Just come on, right through this room, right through this environment. Give me a wave. Say, I'm saying yes to Jesus today. From front to back, left to right. There's hands going up. Come on, let's give these people a huge, huge. If you're online as well, let us know in the chat window. Say, hey, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Come on, with every eye closed, every eye closed. This, up the back there, if that's you, give me a wave as well. I see your hands at the back there. Who else? Over here. Thank you, Jesus. We never take these moments lightly. Wherever you're at this morning, let's pray this prayer together. At the end of this prayer, where we just give Jesus a huge ovation. Here we go. Jesus, this morning, I invite you into my life. Would you forgive me of all of my sin? And would you take my past and exchange it for your amazing future? I believe that you died and that you rose again. And on the 10th of March, I am saying, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. Come on, church, let's give it up for those people. Let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.